Prepare to Pivot is a series of conversations with Dr. Andrew Barnes, Dean of the School of the Arts, Communications, and Global Studies at York College of Pennsylvania. Dean Barnes talks with leaders in the college, YCP alums, and members of the York community about the importance of the liberal arts in preparing students to build careers where essential skills like critical and creative thinking, effective communications, and analytical reasoning make all the difference. And now, here's Dean Barnes.
Hi, this is Andy Barnes, and welcome to the podcast. Today, I'm very excited to have Joan Mummert with us. Joan is, as everyone knows, the president and CEO of the York County History Center. Welcome, Joan.
Thank you.
We have an interesting history, kind of.
Yes, we do.
We went to the same college and didn't know it, back in Indiana.
Yes, indeed.
And I remember when I first got here, I met a gazillion people, very fast, a gazillion people. And I met you once. And right. You had told me, "Hey, Andy, we went to the same alum in Indiana, University of Indianapolis or Indiana Central." And then I met you a second time, and I said, "Hi, my name's Andy." You said, "Yes, Andy, I know. We went
to school together, but you don't remember me."
but that caused me to remember you now. Every time I go, Joan,
yes.
Indiana Central,
my classmate, not classmate.
But it's rare to find people from your alma mater. In York, PA.
Especially in York, PA.
I know. So it was kind of, especially those of us from those Hoosiers. Are you from Indiana originally?
No, you're not. I'm a New Englander.
But you went to Indiana Central.
I did.
What drew you there? It's a lot. We won't get into that. We have a lot to talk about.
Short story is I needed a different experience.
Oh, that's good.
Yes.
I'm not sure going to Indiana is a different experience, but whatever.
It was different from New England.
It's different from New England. Very different from New England. Anyways, what I wanted to talk to you about today is about history, obviously, and about the importance of history to culture and the importance of history to York City. And especially, you know, I run into a lot with kids and their parents when they're coming to open houses that they are reluctant to go into liberal arts. They're reluctant to get a history degree or political science. I know it hurts me too. And I'm always trying to tell them that, and they're reluctant because they don't think there are jobs out there or that they don't think liberal arts is that important. So today I want to talk about the importance of liberal arts, and especially of history. Mm-hmm. But first, I want an abbreviated version of how you got to York.
The abbreviated version is I've been hanging out in York since the late 80s. I lived in Baltimore, and I would come up periodically. I worked at Shippensburg University for a short time, was the alumni director, and had alumni chapter here. But the more important story is I met my husband who lived in New Oxford and did business in York and Hanover. And we knew people in common. We got married. And here I am all these years later.
How many years later?
22.
22 years you've been in York.
Yes.
I've heard a lot of stories of people who come to York for a brief period of time, thinking they're going to be here for a very brief period of time, and they stay their entire lives.
Heard that, yes.
But yours is a little different because your husband's here and then you kind of settled
right.
here. So,
right.
But still, you've been here a long time. So you are an established member, we might say, of the York community.
I like to think of it that way. And I love this community. It has a lot of wonderful history and heritage. People who were here for generations. And it's a changing community. So there are a lot of dynamics at play right now. But it's a great place.
You know, I was struck. I've only been here a little over a year. And what I was struck by York when I came here is that it does have a history. And the history is really obvious in the buildings. Because mm-hmm. there are a lot of buildings here in York that haven't been torn down and something else built. So you get the history just walking around York and looking at all these different buildings. And, of course, we have the colonial site,
Complex.
The colonial complex, which is very new. And of course, we have the new history center that's being built right down the street from me, from where I live. So I walk by it all the time, and it's pretty fabulous looking.
Thank you. The former Meta steam plant. Indeed.
Could you tell us a little bit about it? How it came about? What's going to happen there? And primarily, when's it going to open?
Sure. Well, I'll start with that last one first.
The important
It'll open
one.
This summer. If you're a member, you'll be able to come visit the new museum, library, and archive the end of June. If you are not a member, we will be having a big celebration in conjunction with the county's anniversary the first Friday of August. So we look forward to providing something that is so unique and different. No other museum will look like it in this region. So we are unique amongst our peers. But in terms of how we got there, we were trying to resolve some issues relative to the organization's sustainability. In short, we moved from an organization that had about 89,000 square feet of real estate to one that held 210 square feet of real estate in 3 short years with no additional resources. So it made it an untenable situation. I think I got hired because part of my background is fundraising.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And so I came in and we did a great job of fundraising and improving our programs, expanding them. Making sure we were doing more inclusive histories. But at the end of the day, it only moved the needle so much, and we realized we had to create a new solution. And so after some significant research, we decided to right-size. So we are reducing the square footage. We've already gotten rid of 2 buildings. We are now leaving 250 East Market Street to go over to the steam plant.
Wow. And you gave a presentation not too long ago at the Rotary that gave us a little kind of a peek into the new center. And I thought was really interesting in the sort of the design. So sometimes we think of museums as sort of static places. You go around and there are objects and you look at objects and you might read the didactic and you get some information. Your presentation was really interesting. And I think this new center is really interesting because there are places for public interactions.
Yes.
There are community spaces there. There are a lot of other things can happen in a museum besides just, hey, that's kind of cool object.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why did you do that? What was what was the force driving that sort of redesign, as it were?
The work of museums, and I would say colleges and universities, has all changed. We used to be places of knowledge on a hill that gave information out. We were the experts, folks coming to see us were gaining our intellect, so to speak. Museums can't function like that anymore. It's not really an appropriate way to convey history. It's people walk in the door with knowledge already. It is about tickling that knowledge and fostering it and getting people excited to engage in the history that we have, to encourage them to learn more. So it is more about an engagement than a one-way dialogue. It's more about getting people involved and getting them so intrigued that they want to learn more and go to the library and archives or read a book or go see a film that we're connecting with the Appel Center on. Our job is to get people at least interested to light that spark.
And my guest today is Joan Murmert. I think that this is key because you're right in the sense that colleges and universities also have to do the same thing, especially in the liberal arts and humanities.
Right.
And we're trying to refocus it. I don't know if you've heard, but I'm trying to put together this degree called Applied Humanities. I may have talked to you about it, where we really are taking the humanities out of the classroom and putting them in community to help solve issues, to help people see issues from a holistic point of view rather than just a one-sided point of view. So I think that's key, that we have to kind of reinvent ourselves as the public kind of sees us differently.
Right.
I think you're doing a great job in museums. The academy is struggling a little bit, especially in humanities, are struggling a little bit because we still have this idea that, knowledge for knowledge's sake is great, and it is. And that people should just respect us because we have a lot of knowledge, which is what we have to change. We have to change that ivory tower idea. And we're getting there, but it's difficult because it's such a core part of our being that, we earned this PhD, therefore, please respect us. And it doesn't fly anymore.
Well, I think we all benefit from the knowledge that you have. And it is that transference, if you will, of knowledge, of information that can help other people get excited and engaged.
Yeah.
And that's the work that we are all about, and we do it through different means. So you mentioned earlier about the artifacts, that the intrinsic value of an artifact used to be really what art museums were all about. It's now about the story that the artifact punctuates, that it tells that it is more than the artifact itself. It is part of a greater whole.
That's interesting because it goes to the question I kind of had about why does history matter? What does it matter to people living in the 2023, in the 21st century? Why does it matter when we have a little machine in our pockets that we can, you know, Google anything? So why does history matter?
Certainly not static. And I had somebody say to me once, I never look backwards. And I only want to look forward. I thought, it's a little short-sighted because we learn from our past. There are so many relevant experiences that inform today and help us make decisions about tomorrow. The past is really important. One time I wrote an article about history is like air. Nobody really appreciates it, but it's around us. It surrounds us in our statistics that we get, whether it be sports or economics, you name it. It helps us understand who we are right now and who we can be in the future. It's important.
It is important. And I think that people, when they, you know, hear about history, they may kind of like, you know, back up a little bit. But people are talking about history all the time. If they're a sports fan,
right,
they're talking about the history of their team or their history of this. Or in families, they certainly talk about their genealogy all the time, about, mm-hmm, especially in this country, where we came from. Who are we? What's our background? So history is that thing that gives us a kind of sense of self.
Absolutely.
A sense of who we are as a family, but I think as a community as well.
Absolutely.
Since I've been in York, I hear history of York all the time. I mean, people are really proud of this city and what this city came from, where it is and where it's going. Mm-hmm. I hear it all the time. So I think that people don't sort of acknowledge that this is history, mm-hmm, because they think of history of sitting in classrooms and memorizing dates.
Right, right. And that's pretty common, right?
Right.
That's how most of us learned history initially. They didn't understand that history has a greater connection. It has context. It has depth. And it can be rich with lots of textures. And it can be inclusive. And history is bad and good. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are rough histories. York City certainly had a very difficult time in the 60s. We are still learning and growing from those experiences. So you think about, why is the past important? Because we can't stay the same. We have to,
right,
change. What,
right,
is it we can change? You look back, look at present, look toward future.
Well, I mean, we have that famous quote. I'm not going to remember this famous quote. If you don't remember your history, you're bound to repeat it. That's not the quote.
I think it was Mark Twain that said something about the rhythm of history.
Yeah.
And there's truth to that. There are cycles and rhythms. There are things that you see over and over again. I might dare say this is a period that reminds me of the 60s and 70s.
That's right. It does. Yeah. It's interesting because I think that's something particular to the American spirit, mm-hmm, that we look forward. If you go to Europe, you go to a place else, they're rich in their history.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, you go to Rome, as we go city, we go to a lot. There's history everywhere.
Sure.
Right. And they, and in one sense, the Europeans that I know, they're envious of America because we look to the future and we're inventive, mm-hmm, and innovative. But we also, we there's something to learn from history, and we don't always cherish that.
Right.
Like I said earlier, it's what's nice about York City is that we didn't tear down all the buildings. Mm-hmm. And a lot of cities, that happens. Mm-hmm. Tear down the past and build something new and forget that history. But there seems to be a kind of investment here in retaining that history and telling that history and making sure people know what their history is. So in the museum, mm-hmm, in the many collections you have, I think you were asked this at the Rotary, what's your favorite object or most interesting object that the museum holds?
Oh my
gosh. I think you got asked this question at Rotary.
I was, something similar.
Yeah, something
and
similar.
And I think my answer was, it's really difficult because we have 85,000 three-dimensional artifacts and more than 400,000 in the library and archives. But in terms of one of the most important collections that we have, it's the Louis Miller drawings. Louis Miller was born in the late 1700s, lived mostly in York. Throughout his life, he traveled to Europe. He had a sponsor. He wrote and drew about all of the people that he ran into here in the community and over in Europe. We have travel journals of his. And why they're important is they give us an understanding of what actually really happened. It's not fabricated. It's actual history that you're lifting off the page from his experience. And let me just say, he had a very raucous sense of humor. Some of
really?
The things that he drew would shock some folks, but it's really fun.
That's it. You know, when I have my PhD in Renaissance, English Renaissance literature, but obviously I studied a lot of history. And what you're saying is true, because the way we know about the world, mm-hmm. especially America, was through journals, mm-hmm. that people were writing journals. And this is how we understand how they discovered, what their first experiences were, how they cultivated, et cetera, et cetera. It was through writing. Mm-hmm. It's through writing journals. That's a good answer.
It's a graphic novel.
History is a graphic novel. I like this. This could be a good tagline for you.
Well, that was his style for sure.
If someone wanted to know more about the History Center or get involved with the History Center or volunteer, how do they do that?
They can go straight to our website, which is www.yorkhistorycenter.org.
That's easy enough. And I have one final question for you.
Yes.
What do you see? It's my 5-year question. What do you see, or what do you hope to see in York City in 5 years that's different than it is now?
Loads of people who are wandering or walking from place to place, whether it be restaurant, shops, experiences, Keystone Kids Space, the Appel Center, our organization. It's dynamic. It's full of energy. There are festivals. And it's very inclusive that we are celebrating the new York, not state, New York, that is representative of all people.
I think that's a really good vision. And I, as I said, I live downtown York, and I think it's a great city. And I see people down there, and I see some diversity there, but we need more. I think there's, you know, I kind of live right on the border between York and what some people consider the difficult neighborhoods. And it would be nice to see that border broken down.
Yeah.
Then let people kind of, you know, sort of free flow of people back and forth. And that would be really kind of cool. And I look forward to that.
Me too.
Joan, thank you very much. This wasn't so difficult.
Thanks, Andy.
I know. And next time, I'll remember alums. Go. I don't know what we are. Greyhounds. I think. Go Greyhounds.
Indeed.
All right. Thank you very much. And thank you for listening.
This program is produced in the studios of WVYC-FM, the voice of York College, and produced by WVYC radio station manager Jeffrey Schiffman. Join Dean Barnes monthly for these ongoing conversations about essential skills in the liberal arts.